Chapter 17. Catacombs. A sense of disconnected urgency drove Rita as she ran through the city streets. She knew something was wrong, just not exactly what. It reminded her of a soldier's instinct for danger. Anyone who had served in the Navy or the Militarum for any length of time had it, that self-certain belief that something was about to go extremely and irrevocably badly. That it was Vanko she ran towards only made it worse, because it wasn't just her own safety that was potentially at stake, but his too. The crowds were still making their way back to their homes after seeing their champions off, and Rita had to pick her way through their dawdling masses. Every few bodies she would catch a glimpse of a man in an old military uniform, his face obscured as ever. This only heightened her concern and made her run harder. She wanted to shut her eyes to him, to not remember. She wanted to believe he wasn't always a harbinger of something awful, and she hoped his presence now didn't presage the unthinkable. She reached the old keep after what felt like an hour, but was actually much less than half that. The same watchman let her through, the same empty halls presented themselves. She only slowed when she reached the cells, taking a firm grip of her maul as she heard the jail's occupants. It was worse than before. They banged their heads against the doors and rattled the bars of the viewing slits like caged beasts, driven mad by confinement. That might not be so far from the truth, but it was the sounds that disturbed her the most. Before she'd heard weeping and moaning. Now they screamed until they were hoarse, one word repeating over and over.
I.
Rita was halfway down the cells when she saw where Vanko should be. His door was open. She ran to it, pulling the maul from the hoop of leather on her belt, but confronted only shadows as she burst into the small room. The door was undamaged. He'd either picked the lock or been released. At her feet, the food she had brought had spoiled, and the blankets were untouched.
Throne of Terror!
The words caught in her throat as she saw the warp eye repeated across every inch of wall and floor, dizzying in its multiplicity. She edged out of the room, stifling tears as she hurried back into the shadowy halls, reaching down within herself for that cold core that had kept her alive for so many years in the hazardous depths of an Imperial starship. She hardened herself again to grief and pushed down selfish desire, smothering it with duty. And she cursed Barthas for ever sharing his madness. And then she cursed herself for ever letting Vanko become a part of it. She had been about to take a left fork that would bring her to a stairway and back into the outer halls of the keep, determined to find Vanko, and not sure how he could have slipped past her, when she saw something farther down the corridor, in the opposite direction. He was standing right at the very end, the man with the old military uniform, his face obscured by shadow.
Father?
She'd never known him. Not really. Only what she had been told. She had lied to Vidaya, though. She knew how he had died. A missive had been sent to her when she was still a low-level naval rating aboard a minor starship. Vutich, Rita, had died during the Urid campaign, a relatively minor action that had seen an understrength Militarum force engage and eventually destroy a Xenos cult uprising on the system's primary world, Karbak. He had been killed in battle during one of the last major combat actions of the campaign. His death had earned him posthumous decoration, the Medallion Crimson, an award traditionally given to soldiers for continuing to perform their duties in spite of horrific injury. Rita didn't know if that was actually true, but the missive did disclose that Vutich Rita had been burned egregiously. She could not imagine what that was like, though she sometimes awoke to the feeling of her skin being eaten away by acid or fire. Her father then had become an enigma, a literal faceless man whom she dared not confront for fear of what it might reveal. Better to be ignorant, to try to manage her fear. Now, She had to run towards it. The apparition had gone by the time she reached where it had been standing. She let out a long breath, ashamed at the relief she felt, and she faced what appeared to be a dead end. Except it wasn't. A cold, foul-smelling breeze whistled through the brick. Rita put her face towards it, trying to trace its source. A column of bricks jutted out ever so slightly from the rest, ruining the flush finish. It could have been mistaken for a simple deformity. In the darkness, it would have been missed completely if you weren't looking for it. Rita realized what it actually was. Another door. She got her fingers around the protruding edge and pulled hard. It didn't yield much, but gave up enough of a gap that she could feed her maul into it and use it to lever the door the rest of the way. Darkness lurked beyond, though with the faint promise of light, little more than a pale smudge of white beckoning her.
"What do you want me to see?"
she asked the dark, though she wasn't sure if she addressed her father, or Vanko, or both. A short platform led to a stairwell. With little choice, she descended, and about halfway down heard voices. She quickened her pace, but slowed again as she came to the end of the steps. They had led Rita into a subterranean catacomb, a procession of crumbling arches like rib bones disappearing into further darkness. Low-burning torches had been lit, held up by wall sconces. The flames flickered inwards, like mercurial fingers of light beckoning her. He was there too, standing in the shadows, his face obscured as always. Rita wanted to scream at him, to tell him to leave her alone. But he wanted her to find something. The voices grew louder too. They sounded agitated. As she went further into the catacombs, she realized they must stretch under most of the city. A subterranean realm forgotten by all except those whose voices she heard. Closer now, she saw shadows, dark and elongated against the ground. The stench, the one she had remarked to Vadea about up in the tower, had grown stronger too. It must be coming from down here. Subconsciously, she gripped the maul a little tighter. She went slowly, never taking her eyes off the shadow. The voices were muffled, distorted by the strange acoustics of the catacombs, but she thought she recognised one of them.
"Vanko!"
she whispered.
"Here." Yeah.
Rita nearly broke open his skull, her heart pounding as she turned on Vanko, who had been waiting in the dark for her. He was crouched down, which is why she had missed him, eyes dead ahead, fixed on the shadows too.
"What are you doing down here, Vanko?"
she whispered.
"What in the hells of the whoop did you write on the walls?"
He had the look of an addict who was trying to straighten out.
I'm sorry.
"The eye demands,"
Rita snapped, her voice a loud rasp.
"I'm sorry," Vanko said again. "I saw something. I did. A glimpse. I think I understand it now. The eye. It helped me see."
"You're not making sense, Vanko. If Sicarius or any of the Adeptus Astartes hear you talking like this, there'll be nothing I can do to stop them from executing you. I know.
I think it was the future. That's what Barthas gave me. I had to open the door, lead you here. You had to see it too."
"See what?"
she hissed, her anger boiling over. The other voices stopped. Vanko gestured to the shadows as they began to move. The medicus stepped into the light cast by the braziers.
"What are you doing here?"
asked Quen. Rita had heard two voices in the catacombs. The owner of the one she recognised was standing in front of her, and now she knew the other one wasn't Vanko.
"Looking for him. Who are you hiding?"
Quen looked downcast. She quietly turned, and Rita followed her, Vanko just behind. It was a man, slumped against a dirty wall, sitting on a bed of straw. There were blankets, mostly threadbare. He looked ragged, thin, although judging by the scraps at his bare feet, Quen had been trying to keep him fed. He also wore a chain through an iron ring fixed to his ankle. He took one look at Rita and said,
"You're not from here."
His voice was reed-thin and husky from the wretched air, which stank like a combination of trench rot and grog shit. Quen went to him, padding softly against the cold floor. Their eyes met, and she touched her palm on his cheek. She rested her forehead against his, and the two of them briefly closed their eyes, sharing a moment of peace. After a few seconds, the man gave Quen's shoulder a light squeeze, and she stepped back, her fingers slow to leave his face, lingering like the last kiss of leaves on an autumnal branch, reluctant to depart. Chains rattled as the man got to his feet, a tepid sort of fever seeming to seize him all of a sudden now that Quen had withdrawn her presence.
"You're not from here," he repeated, louder this time. "You're not even from this world, this place. Everything you've seen is a lie. It's all a damn lie," he said, turning to Quen and jabbing an angry finger at Rita. "She knows the truth. Deep down, she knows. They both do."
"You see now why I had to hide him away," said Quen, as she looked from the man back to Rita. "This madness. He wasn't always like this. Your husband, I presume. The one you said died in the war. I'm sorry about that, too. It's easier, safer, if I say that he's dead."
Rita scowled.
"Meanwhile, he lives in this pit." Quen gave her a firm look. "It's that or death."
Deciding on the bold approach, Rita took a step forwards, towards the man.
"What do you mean, the truth?" she asked. "What truth?" "I told you, he's mad," said Quen. "Fanciful tales of flying ships and empires in the stars."
Rita and Geraint exchanged a glance. He didn't look mad, she thought. He looked scared, and even a little relieved. She took another step until they were almost face to face.
"What truth?" she repeated,
slowly and firmly.
"What do you know?" "He doesn't know," Quen began, but was interrupted.
"That you're from the Imperium," he said,
then gestured to Quen.
"And so are we."